Chippewa Falls, W228 P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The dead bodies that Texas investigators believe to have been a pregnant woman and her boyfriend were found with gunshot wounds. KHOU-TV's Sherman Chow.
Police have revealed a pregnant teenager and her boyfriend, who had been missing for days, both had been found with gunshot wounds. Still no official cause of death released.
The travel rush this week does not appear all that rushed, at least not today. Stanley Sidlicek is a traveler in Miami.
It was seamless. Charlotte Airport was busy, but coming from Charlotte, seamless as well. It was busy, but all organized.
The New York Times is suing OpenAI and Microsoft, trying to end the practice of using its stories to train chatbots. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur has more on the federal suit just filed in Manhattan federal court.
They are built using information taken from the web. And oftentimes we're learning without the necessary copyright and licensing agreements.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. One of Wisconsin's state university chancellors could be out of a job tonight. The Board of Regents has scheduled a special closed meeting for tonight to consider discipline or termination for one of the heads of Wisconsin's 13 state schools. La Crosse's Joe Gao and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the only chancellors denied pay raises in 2018. Kwanzaa celebrations are underway. The holiday celebrates African heritage, among other things, but Nichelle Hayes says people of all faiths and races are welcome.
It might be that you only celebrate at your home with your nuclear family. It might be that you come together with the people in your neighborhood or your broader community.
As many as 18 million people celebrate Kwanzaa around the world. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Police Department is warning residents to be aware of purse snatching during the holiday shopping season. Law enforcement officials say police have seen some cases of purse snatching in local stores where thieves are taking unattended items or working as a team to distract a victim while another takes a purse or something valuable. If you do find yourself as a victim of purse snatching, you should cancel all credit and debit cards that were taken as soon as possible and notify law enforcement. A pair of proposed bills in the Wisconsin state legislature could reform payday loans in the state. One bill would cap interest rates for the short-term high-interest loans at 36%, a number taken from the Military Lending Act, which protects active service members from predatory lending. The other bill would redefine payday loans to cover other high-interest loan products that are currently not classified as payday loans, which would include any loans that must be paid off in less than 6 months with no collateral. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Bucks play the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight in New York. The Bucks coming off a 129-122 loss to the Knicks Christmas Day. How do you rebound? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Again, prepare them. Be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy. But if you do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
College football. The Wisconsin Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl next Monday morning against LSU. Kickoff 11 a.m. Luke Fickell has hired one of his former players, Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback for him at Ohio State, to serve as receivers coach.
Learned a lot. You know, played quarterback. And so playing quarterback on that level, you learn so much. And so I got a chance to play for some legendary coaches with Jim Tressel for 2 years. I had Luke Fickell, who's doing an awesome job now. I had Urban Meyer for the last two. So when you have those names around you, those greatness around you, and every day a learning experience.
That's the Badgers' new receivers coach, Kenny Guyton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A bright and beautiful day returns with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures flirting with 40. Get outside and enjoy it, because by tonight, clouds roll in, temperatures fall to the freezing mark, and chances of snow arrive early tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 39.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. There has been a recurrence of racial behavior in suburban Milwaukee high schools that's gone too far. I've had enough of it. A lot of people have, and I'm going to give you the facts, and I am going to give you my view of what should be done. The most recent one was there was a girls' basketball game. When I say suburban, I'm really talking about the greater exurban area around Milwaukee at southeastern Wisconsin. There was a game between Beloit and Westosha High School, an exurban area in southeastern Wisconsin, not an immediate suburb. In it, the referee cracked down on the Beloit coach, gave multiple technical fouls for cheering. And now remember, these were high school girls. You have middle school teams, high school teams, everybody's excited. And he walks up to her and he says, quote, I should have ejected you from the game. You just need to sit there, shut your mouth, and watch the game. He says this to the coach. And people are walking by the bench. They're not paying any attention to the coach. And the idea of shutting your mouth cropped up several times. That's not appropriate. That is not appropriate to say to any coach. If you're going to give a technical foul, and that can be reviewed later, but multiple ones and using that kind of language is wrong. The coach was concerned, frankly, from some of the cheers and everything, and she checked with her district, somebody in the superintendent's office in Beloit, and got permission to leave the game, bring the girls home. It was a very, very hostile environment. When they got up, they were told they couldn't go out through the gym. They had to go out through some back area. And she went, you know, why should I do that? I'm going to leave the way we came. As they walked out, according to the coach, Delana Johnson of Beloit, the crowd, and this included student athletes, included students, parents, everybody, started to make monkey noises and gesture like apes. Now, this isn't the first time that this kind of thing has happened. Back about less than a year ago in Muskego, there was another game with a Beloit team, and there were racist messages put in the visiting locker, and I think there were swastikas carved in dust on some of the cabinets. And the investigation, in my opinion, was stonewalled by Muskego. Well, you know, you couldn't tell who did it. And there were, again, allegations of monkey noises. one of the refs said, well, you know, he didn't interpret it that way. A couple of years ago, and this is not in the article, but a couple of years ago, I think it was down in Elkhorn, a middle school team from Beloit came to play in Elkhorn. Now, these teams in Beloit frequently will have, you know, African-American girls and guys, Latinos and so on, and the ex-urban and urban areas, I should say ex-urban and suburban areas of Milwaukee, don't have to that same degree. And the crowd down Elkhorn started to shout, build that wall, build that wall. This is in the middle of Trump's presidency. The girls from Beloit started to cry. You're talking middle school, what's middle school? Seventh and eighth grade? And the game had to be stopped. Now, I've had enough of this, and I would hope everybody out there has had enough of it. I'm going to make some suggestions, because they always claim they're going to investigate it. They're taking this very seriously. They're not taking it seriously at all, in my opinion. They're not taking it seriously at all. First of all, in all of the suburban and ex-urban schools in the Milwaukee area, and frankly in the urban area, at the beginning, they should have a general assembly in the auditorium or wherever they meet, and have the principal, the football coach, the wrestling coach, and the hockey coach, and the basketball coach get up and speak and say, there will not be the slightest racial taunting by anybody in this school. If there is, you will be immediately, if you're playing a sport, thrown off the team. That will be noted in your record when it comes time for college recommendations. And in some cases, it will be expulsion. Knock it off. You know, all this mollycoddling isn't working. The second thing I would do when these schools have this happen, and they aren't taking it seriously, and then they mouth some pieties. They go, oh, you know, we're looking into it. Or like in one of them, I think it was the Muskego one. Well, yeah, I don't know who drew the swastikas. I don't know. They didn't sound like monkey noises to me. In Europe, in some respects, believe it or not, is, and frankly, everywhere in the world is racist, according to local culture. But in Europe, when African players play, even in Italy, France, Germany, Turkey, sometimes the audience will start to taunt African players because they're not the majority. And they will do the monkey gorilla thing and all that. And when that happens, the fans are ejected immediately. And there have been some games that had to be played with no spectators. No spectators, soccer games. That's wrong that should have to happen. Well, we can't do much about Europe, but we can do a lot about the United States. We can do even more about Milwaukee and the ex-urban and suburban areas. And I think everything I've seen of the reporting is that the people who run these schools aren't taking this seriously. They say they're taking it seriously, but where's the proof? If you have the principal, the football coach, basketball, wrestling, hockey, get up there and say, we're taking this seriously. It's not going to happen here. Do you understand? You think it's funny? I would do it on bullying too. You know, even bullying for other than race. Things like LGBT bullying, all that. I would say to them, the people that you are doing this to, your fellow Americans, and they may be your fellow veterans in the armed services and be people you're going to work with, they're fellow Americans. We're not going to tolerate it. You're not going to be on the wrestling team or the football team if you do it. Frankly, you're not going to graduate from this school if you do it under really aggravated circumstances. And, you know, frankly, if you have a history of bullying like this, that's going to show up on your college recommendations. Knock it off. Nobody in this area has given the kind of speech where I just described. Nobody in the area has done it. Nobody. And you can't have a circumstance where these little pods, and I don't use the term racist lightly. You know that on this show. I mean, you can't use it at the drop of a hat. Society's complex and so forth. But there's nothing complex about this. When middle school girls start to cry in the middle of the game, you know, build that wall, build that ball, and they have to end the game and bust them back to Beloit. And when the coach is told, shut your mouth, are you kidding? By a ref, that ref shouldn't be reffing games. What do you mean, shut your mouth? If you have a good faith basis for issuing a technical foul, go ahead. Go ahead. In the NBA, they don't say shut your mouth. Well, they shouldn't say it here. And when the crowd starts doing that and making these concerted noises, where are the adults who say knock it off? Where are the results? Where are the adults who say knock it off? Where's the leadership? You know, you don't want the football coach, the wrestling coach, the hockey coach, the basketball coach giving the impression that somehow they don't take it seriously. That somehow, well, you know, there's some defenses to it. It's unclear what the intent of the concerted chant was as these kids are leaving in the middle of the game because their coach felt that it was not a safe environment. That's baloney. That can't happen. These people have got to be told very, very bluntly, you're not going to do it. We're not going to put up with it. And this extends beyond racial bullying to all kinds of bullying. We're not going to put up with it. These kids get devastated, and we're not going to tolerate it anymore. Google this story, read it, and read some of the other ones I've just described. It's really disgusting. Okay, I want to talk quickly about another political matter. Jack Smith, great prosecutor in the Mar-a-Lago case, with Eileen Mercedes Cannon, who is essentially representing Trump. She is dragging her feet, intending to delay this beyond the election. He just brought a motion for the ninth time to alert her to the fact that what she's doing, slow rolling this, dragging out decisions on minor things, quarreling over minor things, is going to delay it. Under the Speedy Trial Act, there's a 70-day period to go to trial. His co-defendants, Walter Nauta and this De Oliveira, are on track for that. And the 70 days is not graven in stone in the sense that it's been more than 70 days, but the timing is told and continued for correct things. She is dragging this thing out to get beyond November. Keep that in mind. And fortunately, Jack Smith has brought that to everyone's attention. Okay, coming up. You will not believe what a senior Trump official said about him, in addition to the fact that Trump is lethally incompetent. Wait till you hear the rest of it.
Coming up. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
93.5 The Tap.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, two things. I'm going to read you. It's unbelievable what a former, very senior Trump administration official has said about Donald Trump, and then try to guess who said it, because that has not been disclosed. I have an idea, largely because I know the individual. I have an idea. But here's what he said. Now, first of all, you may say, come on, man. I mean, look, what are there, like 30 people in his administration who come out and denounced him? What's, you know, the big news about that? Well, this is a little different. This is a direct quotation from an individual who is described, and this is Carl, I think it's Jonathan Carl, the guy in ABC News wrote a book, and he's protecting the source. I think I know the source. But here is what a very senior official in the Trump administration said about Donald Trump. And this goes beyond anything I've seen from anyone else. And he said, quote, "Trump lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything related to governing, history, geography, human events, or world affairs. He is a traitor and a malignancy in our nation, and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and to the rule of law." Now, I have heard criticisms of Trump from people close to him, people who work for him, people in his administration. But this is breathtakingly to the heart, a dagger to the heart. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to tell you who I think said it. If you have a different idea, you can let me know. This person, Jonathan Carl, has said, is a very senior Trump official. And he said, quote, about Trump, "Trump lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything related to governing, history, geography, human events. He's a traitor, or world affairs. He's a traitor and a malignancy in our nation, and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and to our rule of law." Now, there's a lot of people you might think are very senior government officials. John Kelly was chief of staff. Mattis, Jim Mattis, was Secretary of Defense. He had several. The fellow from Alabama who was his attorney general, several secretaries of state, and so forth. I am fairly convinced that that was said by John Bolton, his security guy and United Nations guy, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I knew John Bolton in college. He was a year behind me, and we were both involved in a thing called the Connecticut Intercollegiate Student Legislature. I was the state chairman. He was the chairman of the Yale delegation. And I, you know, worked with him a fair amount. And he was, frankly, as strange then as he is now. He was conservative. He didn't have that sort of walrusy mustache. Very, very serious. Always dressed like at least in a sport jacket, that kind of thing. But the use of all these adverbs, I mean, I do not think Jim Mattis, John Kelly, any of these other characters or clowns, some of them, Kelly and Mattis were terrific, but some of them were bad news, would speak this way. In all the adverbs, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, stunningly ignorant of virtually anything. It's spoken as if, and this is an interview with Jonathan Carl, so it's spoken the way most people would write something after they thought about it for a while. And that has John Bolton's name all over it. That's the way the guy was. So, you know, when you have a national security advisor, a UN guy in your administration advising you on foreign policy, saying what I just read, that is, to use his words, stunningly and breathtakingly serious, and we've got to take it seriously. Now, that wasn't the only disclosure in Jonathan Carl's book that's come out. Crooked Mike Pompeo, remember Mike Pompeo? He was Secretary of State as well, too, for a while. Mike Pompeo, and he briefly declared, you may not remember this, ran for president this time around, early on, a year ago. He threw his hat in the ring, name in the ring, and he polled under 1%, like 0.5% or something. He knew he wasn't going anywhere. And I never trusted the guy. But in it, they disclosed that he had considered assembling some of the cabinet under Article 25 of the Constitution. Now, that part, everyone knew that some people had been thinking about it. But this book by Carl puts a little flesh on the skeleton. And I think they were more than thinking about it. Under that provision, and that's a constitutional amendment that was added fairly late in the game, what happens if a president is disabled? I mean, let's say it becomes apparent that he has Alzheimer's. Trump has early onset dementia, and yet, you know, he's somehow registering the polls. Joe Biden stuttered as a kid, but he's sharp as a tack. He really is, and he is in great physical shape. But the feeling was that Trump was not capable of discharging the presidency, even though he was elected, because of the extreme things he said, his confusion, his refusal to have anything to do with any of the facts, with any of the briefings that he got, anything. Now, it's one thing if a president, say, is injured in an accident and he's unconscious, or the 25 comes in. It's another thing to say that, say he has a heart attack and is coming back slowly and is confused. Okay. But to say that a president should be removed under 25 simply because he is crooked, strange, and weird, that's a stretch. That probably was not contemplated by the Constitution. But in this book, Pompeo sounded out some of the other cabinet. But then there was turnover in the cabinet. Obviously, a thing like that gets around. It's impossible to keep secret. But there was obviously turmoil in that cabinet while Trump was in office. I mean, think of the couple of things that he did. With Kim Jong-un, he calls him Little Rocket Man. Kim Jong-un kidnaps the UVA student, tortures him for a year, kills him, and sends him back to his parents. Trump caves on that one. He betrayed the Kurds. But ultimately, unfortunately, he stayed in the presidency. Okay, coming up. There are more judicial threats because of Trump, and you will be surprised at the statistics coming up right now.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Officials say they'll try to make sure Google doesn't drag out paying its $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's Assistant Attorney General.
A lot of times with these settlements, you have to file a claim. We're trying to not do that, so that way consumers can receive the direct distribution. It just might take some time.
Wisconsin's Josh Call says people shouldn't have to pay extra because of anti-competitive practices. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is offering first-day hikes at state parks and trails on New Year's Day. There are guided hikes, or you could go it alone. The statewide event is free, but you may need a state park admission sticker or state trail pass. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire area veterinarian is warning residents to be on the lookout for ticks. According to a WQOW report, Dr. Kaylee Bull from the Oakwood Hills Animal Hospital in Eau Claire is telling residents that the unseasonably warm weather so far this winter has resulted in ticks being more active than usual this time of year. Pet owners should continue their usual flea and tick treatments for their pets all year, as Dr. Bull has already seen a few pets come into the animal hospital with symptoms of tick disease. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the start of inland trout early catch and release season is approaching. Residents can target any of Wisconsin's four inland trout species from January 6th to May 3rd, but can only use artificial tackle, and all trout caught must be immediately released. A valid 2023-2024 fishing license and an inland trout stamp will be required, which can be obtained through the Department of Natural Resources license portal or through an authorized license agent. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks play the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight in New York. The Bucks coming off a 129-122 loss to the Knicks Christmas Day. How do you rebound? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Again, prepare them, be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy, but if you do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl next Monday morning against LSU, kickoff 11 a.m. Luke Fickell has hired one of his former players, Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback for him at Ohio State, to serve as receivers coach.
Learned a lot, you know, played quarterback, and so playing quarterback on that level, you learn so much, and so I got a chance to play for some legendary coaches. With Jim Tressel for 2 years, I had Luke Fickell, who's doing an awesome job now. I had Urban Meyer for the last two. So when you have those names around you, those greatness around you, and every day a learning experience.
That's the Badgers' new receivers coach, Kenny Guyton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A bright and beautiful day returns with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures flirting with 40. Get outside and enjoy it, because by tonight, clouds roll in, temperatures fall to the freezing mark, and chances of snow arrive early tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 39.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Well, she's fashionably late. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. You're going to the Lions. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Glad you're back and hope you had a nice holiday, Matt, and return relaxed and refreshed.
Thank you.
I'm calling about two items. Yeah. The first one was in your last half hour, you were speaking about the schools in Wisconsin that were having these terrible examples. There were examples of terrible bullying that was going on in athletic events and just how rotten that was for the kids involved in that and what a mark against the schools that was. I just wanted to add a little item to think about. There was a middle school in Madison that distinguished itself by having a very severe policy on violence in schools. You know, if you were involved in a fight, if you brought a knife to school, they had a mandatory auditorium meeting with all of the kids, and parents were sent this information that, you know, you arrive at school with a knife, you're suspended. I don't care what your excuse is. I don't care what your reason is. You are automatic suspension. Do it twice, you're expelled. And they had the highest suspension rate of any middle school in Madison, even though they didn't necessarily, you might not think that, given that where the school was and where it was located and all. And the reason was because of this, they tolerated no fooling around with this. And I think it is an interesting example to think of because, you know, when you get into suspensions and expelling, you're not fooling around. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen to fix that. And especially when you get into high school to have a kid be expelled. But maybe that's what has to happen, Matt, to have this really severe punishment that goes on your record. And you got to work real hard to get rid of it or to counter it. Anyway, they had that policy within that middle school. And I'll tell you, they did not have rates of kids being hurt in school. Bullying was at a very, very low level because it was absolutely not tolerated. Right. So I bring that up, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you were talking about the U.S. military and the efforts of some of the Republican legislators on the federal side who are going after particular members in the military and in the defense establishment. And I wanted to bring up, and I just find it so comical, absolutely comical. There was a report put out by Rubio and another legislator named Chip Roy, who's out of Texas. He's a representative out of Texas. Both of these guys are Republicans, and they were pushing the fact that they slam, quote, woke leaders for weakening the American military. The first thing I'd say is that neither one of them served. So neither one of them have been in the military, although Ted Cruz did offer, you know, these are just Rubio and Roy. Anyway, and I think it was interesting, one of the comments that Rubio made, he said about the military is parroting woke nonsense. It's dumb, it doesn't work, and it's dangerous. To which I would add, how does he know? What are the concrete measures that tell us that it doesn't work or it's dangerous? How does he know? It's just blabble that comes out without any facts that would support what he's saying. What is the support? What is the evidence that backs up his ideas that, for example, he wants to eliminate diversity officers? This in a military that has over 200,000 active duty women in it. You know, this in a military in which the participation by Native Americans has always been far beyond what their population is within the U.S. as a whole. I just don't understand how someone can get away and is not challenged by saying this is dumb, doesn't work, and it's dangerous. I mean, what is the evidence that says that having policies that respect diversity and includes people doesn't work? I mean, what doesn't work? I mean, I don't get it. They might say that, you know, women can't be in active duty on the line. Well, how many people are in active duty? Most of the military is behind the line support. You know, women are as effective at being drone operators as anybody else. So I bring this up, and you can take this for what you want, Matt. Glad you're back, and as always, great show, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Terrific call, as always, and you raised two very important points. I want to take them in order. One of them, I really appreciate the information about the no-knife policy in Madison and the real strict compliance when there are consequences, and I think something like that. And I commend that to anybody listening in one of these ex-urban or suburban high schools, because right now, if I were a coach in Beloit, I wouldn't bring a team to a suburb in Milwaukee or an ex-urban in Milwaukee. You can't have vulnerable middle school girls and boys, vulnerable high school girls and boys who are already being given kind of the short end of the stick from society, having people, you know, make monkey noises and gorilla gestures, you know, carve swastikas on the dust, on cabinets, put racist sayings. Forget sportsmanship. I mean, that went out the window a long time ago. This is nothing more than racial attack. And the administrators in these schools are not taking it seriously, and they're not doing the job. They're not doing the job. And I would say that my reason for talking about, say, the football, wrestling, hockey, and basketball coaches and principal getting up, you know, the so-called macho-type sports, you'll be thrown off the team if you do anything like that. And frankly, if you're doing that kind of thing in the stand, I like the idea initially of a suspension, and a repetition is expulsion. You are not going to do it. You can cheer all you want, but you're not going to do it. And it is a real problem in the exurban and suburban Milwaukee area. I just want everybody in the state to know that. And if you know educators in some of these high schools, it's sort of like giving, you know, our thoughts and prayers when 18 kids are shot in high school. I'm tired of thoughts and prayers. I mean, here they don't use thoughts and prayers. They go taking it seriously. There will be accountability, you know, those kinds of broad words, and nothing happens. So I think Joe's idea, based on the Madison High School experience, you bring a knife in, you're suspended. You bring a gun in, I assume then you're expelled, but I don't know. But you can't have this kind of incremental, you know, wink, wink. It's basically wink, wink. Basically, the administrators that are doing this are winking at it and may feel that way themselves. Can't have that. You flat out can't have it. Now, the other thing that Joe brought up about the Department of Defense was great because, yeah, Rubio, most of these people, many of them never served. Chip Roy, he's the guy, he sort of looks like Lenin. He has a big mustache, and he speaks very passionately all the time. I don't know what kind of district, you know, elects a guy like that. But in any event, this woke business, you have to remember something. There was a time when African-Americans, and this is right up to Truman, couldn't serve in the military. They would serve in the Navy as stewards, or they would, but they couldn't. And Truman integrated the armed forces. Women couldn't serve other than as nurses and hospital ships, that kind of thing, and behind the lines until, I think it was until Bill Clinton came along. And then the ship that I was on, there were no women in the Navy and I was in the Navy. They might be on a hospital ship, but, and they had the waves, they called them, and the WACs, you know, the women's corps and all this kind of stuff. And now women serve in anything, including combat, including infantry, including combat pilots. Because the fact of the matter is, there's no excuse not to. In the 10th century, when everybody had broadswords that weighed, you know, 15 pounds, and you had to raise it over your head, you know, you had to be able to raise a sword over your head. That isn't the case now. If you go into the combat information center on a ship, it's all computers. It's all computers. And women go out for the SEALs and the Delta Force, and that's a different physical thing. But there's a woman now who is selected in the SEALs to be one of the, you have the guys that slip into the jungle with a knife in their teeth, but you also have the one that ferries them to shore and all that. It's a combat position, and women have that now. So these guys are remnants. These guys are remnants, people like Rubio, people like Chip Roy, and frankly, Cruz, are remnants of a time when they didn't want women in the military. And I think there's more than 200,000. If you count everybody in the military, there's millions of people, even if they're in the reserves, even if they're in all of this. And there are a lot of women. They're Native Americans are among our best soldiers. They were the ones during the Second World War, the Navajo code talkers. Japanese couldn't break their codes. And they were very exposed. If they were captured, the Japanese would torture American prisoners. These guys are the toughest people in the world, and they're the most loyal people in the world towards the United States, as badly as they were treated. Latino and African American soldiers and sailors are among the best we have. They're the same as everybody else. They're terrific. So for these clowns, remember, Tuberville is the white supremacist. Tuberville came out and said a white supremacist is simply an American or a Trump supporter. That's what he said. So, you know, that's the Ku Klux Klan element of the Republican Party. And fortunately, right now, it's not a large part of it. But if you throw in the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and the Three Percenters, it's a distressingly large portion of it. But for these clowns to say that the military is woke, are they out of their minds? They haven't been in the military? The point is, they think anybody who's woke who doesn't ridicule women, anybody is woke if they don't ridicule Black people, Latinos, and Native Americans. That was pre-World War II. That ain't cutting it anymore. That ain't cutting it anymore. And right now, the Army is 25% short of its recruitment goal, largely because you have the Republican Party stopping promotions, stopping appointments. You know, there was a time when the Republican Party and the Democratic Party together prided themselves on patriotism and prided themselves on being pro-military. Then the Republican Party did something very stupid in the 1970s, and actually it was Eugene McCarthy from Minnesota who put a spike in their guns. They would get up at speeches in the 70s, and they'd go, the Republican Party is for the military and for defense. The Democrats are soft on defense. That's what they would say. Eugene McCarthy got up at one of the conventions and said, the Republican Party says that the Democratic Party started every war in the century. Woodrow Wilson, First World War. Franklin Roosevelt, Second World War. Harry Truman, Korean War. Lyndon Johnson, Vietnam War. Then the next clown gets up and says, those Democrats, they soft on defense. He said, how can you be soft on defense when you started every war in the century? The point of the matter is, we were all patriots. That is true of rank and file Democrats and Republicans now, but it is not true of much of the Republican leadership. You can't say that you are strong on defense when you will not promote officers. You can't say you're strong on defense when you are denying military in the field the resources of our Defense Department with the intelligence that could save their lives. Or when you bar ambassadors and suddenly there's an Islamic takeover in Niger and the president who is friendly to us gets thrown out of office. You are not friendly. And the most poignant thing, and I've said this before, but for those who haven't heard it, I'm on the executive board of the Milwaukee Navy League. I'm their judge advocate, it's called. I provide the legal advice. And there was an admiral, three-star admiral retired, who's part of the Navy League in Milwaukee. And he and I were talking at a dinner. And he said that it was very painful. Somebody came up to him who's active duty Navy right now and told him that he'd gone up to a Republican senator and said, you hate the military. You know, Tuberville hates the military. Those of you who are Republicans out there, you must understand that you are connoting that you don't like the military, that you hate the military. And the sad thing is that has an impact on recruitment, retention. If you're not going to promote people, you have to be in 20 years to get a pension. A lot of people are in 6-8 years. They say, well, I may not get promoted. They hate me and they drop out and they have great, great institutional memory and learning. That's what the Republican Party is doing. And it's not consistent with the rank and file of the Republican Party. The Republican Party, like the Democratic Party, ship I was on was half and half. So what? We stood watch together, went on liberty together, we were buddies. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you can't have a party leadership that's so afraid of Donald Trump that they're willing to do that. Coming up, Joe Biden has a great idea about getting more money to Ukraine, and it does not include anything in the U.S.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15
with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Biden is finally signaling that he's taken seriously something. He's thought about it. He obviously has good advice. We've talked about it a long time. There's more than $300 billion that Russia has put on deposit in Western banks, including banks in New York City. And one thing that's occurred, not just to me, to a lot of people early on, is it's going to take double that to rebuild Ukraine. Ukraine is the subject of a genocidal, sadistic attack by Russia. Why not take that money and put it right now towards weapons and everything Ukraine needs to rebuild and defend itself? And Janet Yellen's been opposed to it, and a lot of people have been opposed to it, and their argument is, well, we can't do that because it may seem right now, but then other people won't be depositing money in our Federal Reserve because they'll be afraid that politically they may be taken, it may be taken away from them. I think that's baloney. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you the procedure. It's $300 billion. Have the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, bring a lawsuit. Name Russia and Putin personally as a defendants. Venue it in New York in federal court. And the relief requested would be that they started a genocidal, sadistic attack. He's been held to be a war criminal by the World Court. What he's done is a violation of law, and it resulted in injury. That's the definition of a tort. Resulted in injury. The injury has to be compensated. Here's an expert opinion that says that it's going to take $600 billion to rebuild Ukraine, and it's going to take another couple of hundred billion to give them the weapons needed to defend themselves. So the relief we seek is taking that money and transferring it to Ukraine with safeguards, not just one at a time, but every time they make a request, let Congress pass on it. But if Congress is the way they are right now, the MAGA types, and try to stick a knife in Ukraine, Joe Biden will do it by executive order. Okay. That is a legal process. Putin can defend the case. He'll hire lawyers. He'd be out of his mind if he showed up in New York personally. But he'll hire American lawyers for a fee. They'll do it. And they make the argument that this and that and the other thing. And then you can either have a jury trial, but more likely have the judge sit as a court in equity, which means there's no jury. And he'll decide, have Congress pass legislation that says that he can do it. And he will decide, this guy, Arthur Engoron, who is Trump's fraud case, I'll tell you what he'd do. A lot of good judges. He's a state judge. There's also a lot of good federal judges in New York. You enter a judgment of $300 billion, confiscate the assets. Now, to the point, to the argument that, well, that will deter others from doing it, it certainly will not. It's not going to deter anybody in the West from doing it, which is where we get most of our deposits. There are allies, there are NATO. But even if you are in Africa, Asia, somewhere else, here's why it wouldn't deter you, it would encourage you. It would encourage you to do the right thing. You'd say, this was an extraordinary case, but Putin launched a genocidal, sadistic attack on another country and cause a lot of damage. We will not do that. We're not, that's not part of our culture, our ethos. And as long as you are not a sadistic genocidal nut, you have nothing to worry about. If you are a sadistic genocidal nut, you do have something to worry about, and you should, and then go somewhere else. I just think it's an excellent, excellent idea. And I want to see Joe Biden. Thank God we have Joe Biden. Thank God we have Joe Biden. Joe Biden, most experienced foreign policy guy we've had in the presidency in our history, been in for 50 years, for Pete's sake. 50 years. And thank God we have him. I also alluded to the threats to judges. The Denver police are probing threats to Colorado judges. Remember the 4-3 who said Trump's off the ballot? Here's an example. They have patrols going around all those judges' houses. Here's an example of one of the threats. Quote, all effing robed rats must effing hang. Now, why that guy isn't put in jail? I mean, you know, that's not a statement of opinion. That's a threat. The FBI is involved. The police had to go to the home of one judge with extra force because of a particular threat that came around. Threats against judges have doubled between 2018 and last year. It started under Trump because of all his threats to judges. There are 2,700 federal judges in this country. They've received 4,500 serious threats, almost 2-1, not quite 2-1. That's unheard of. I clerked for a federal judge when I got out of law school. They were the mildest mannered people in the world. Nobody knew who they were or cared about them. They did their job. But because of Trump, and here's what one commentator said, Trump is pouring gasoline on the fire. Every time he accuses a judge, either Engoron, Tanya Chutnik, or a prosecutor, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, Letitia James, and then the families of these judges, they all get many, many death threats and racial slurs in the case of Letitia James and Fannie Willis. He's doing it on purpose. And the appellate courts are trying to juggle the First Amendment and his right to freedom of speech and threats. Well, the problem is these threats are now very real. A woman came to kill Tanya Chutkin. She was arrested, fortunately, and now she's being charged. He's done it to the FBI. Guy goes to Cincinnati with a gun, to the FBI office. The appellate judges have got to wake up. There's a difference between the First Amendment and a threat. You can't threaten the United States, the president. You can't threaten a member of Congress. You can't even threaten anybody. If you threaten to kill them, that is an offense. If you threaten to kill the president or a congressman or a senator, that's a felony. You can't be parsing what you think is oblique language. You can't tell me that a threat that says all effing, they use the whole word, robed rats must effing hang. That's not First Amendment. That's terror. The guy belongs in prison. Coming to the end of the show, great show, great callers as always. Stand by for another one. Stand by for Diamond Crew, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today. Like a rolling
Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Yes, news brief. It's the holiday.